New York Times bestselling author Laura Schroff tells the remarkable story of her lifelong friendship with a boy named Maurice, who she met on the street while he was asking for change in her book, An Invisible Thread. Now, in a picture book, Laura retells the first Christmas that she and Maurice spent together. She shares how Maurice gave her a small white bear, and as she later learns, the only thing he had that he could truly call his own to show her how grateful he was for their friendship. Laura Schroff is a former advertising executive who has helped launch In Style, Teen People, and People Style Watch. She's also worked as the New York division manager at People Magazine and as associate publisher at Brides Magazine. Again, the new book, which is a beautiful picture book, An Invisible Thread Christmas Story, and we welcome Laura Schroff to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joe, so much, and thanks for inviting me to be on your roundtable.
Well, it's very nice to have you on the program. It's been almost 30 years since you had this encounter with Maurice, and I guess it keeps on becoming, obviously, a large part of your life, and you explore various aspects of it over those three decades.
Well, you know, it's been a large part of my life really almost since the very beginning when I met him in 1986, when he really said to me, "Excuse me, lady, do you have any spare change? I'm hungry." And I ultimately took him out to lunch at McDonald's, and our friendship began, and we ended up meeting every Monday for the next 4 years and hundreds of times thereafter. And not only did I change his life, but he certainly changed my life.
What is it about really the two of you that you think clicked, that allowed these conversations to go on and for you to open up to each other?
Well, he was a child that lived at the Bryan Hotel, which was just two blocks from where I lived. He lived in a shelter hotel, and I lived on West 56th Street, and I was 35 years old at the time. I'd always wanted to have a family of my own, and when he first asked me for change, I said no, and I kept walking. But then what really made me stop and go back was the fact that he had said he was hungry, and because he was so young, I didn't want to give him money, so that's when I invited him to lunch. And I think the two of us came into each other's lives at a time where we both needed someone else in our lives. I had always hoped to have a family of my own, and it just was never meant to be. And the next thing I knew, I met this little boy, Maurice, and he was adorable. He was charming, and he needed someone in his life to help care for him.
How old was he?
He was 11 years old at the time.
And how did you decide to make that commitment?
Well, you know, it really happened very slowly. We had lunch that day. We ended up spending a little bit of time that afternoon together. I gave him my business card. I told him to call me if he was ever hungry. But throughout the week, I couldn't seem to get his image out of my mind. So really, on Thursday night after work, I decided to see if I could try to find him. And unbeknownst to me, that night, he was very hungry. And he thought maybe if he stood on the same corner, I would see him again. He would see me again, and I wouldn't offer to take him to dinner. And I did. And at dinner, I said, "I've got a great idea." I said, "Why don't you meet me on the corner next Monday night?" I said, "We'll go out to dinner again." And we just ended up meeting every Monday night for the next 4 years and hundreds of times thereafter. So it happened, you know, very slowly, and it was a process.
How
we learned over a period of time to really trust each other.
What was it for? In just you saying that, it would seem that it would be perhaps harder. Who do you think that had the harder job trusting?
I think probably he did.
Yeah.
Because he was really used to people treating him, particularly on the street, as if he were invisible. And, you know, unfortunately, he had no choice but to really care for himself. So I think that the first time I invited him over to my apartment, and I did not know it, but he was really scared because he was sure that that was the night that he was going to find out what I really wanted from him. And when I explained why I invited him over to my apartment and that I considered him a friend, and I explained how friendship was built on trust, but I wanted to set some parameters, and I said, let me tell you, I said, if anything's ever missing from my apartment, we're going to no longer be friends. And he, like, looked at me with this very puzzled expression, and he said, Miss Laurie, you just want to be my friend, that's it? I said, well, yeah. I said, of course. And he stood up, he put his hand out, and he said, okay. He said, a deal is a deal. And that's really, you know, how we built this bond, on a handshake of trust. And it really was a couple of months later when I asked him what he was doing for the holidays, and he told me he had no plans. And I was like, well, don't you celebrate Christmas with your family or any holiday? And he said, no. And I said, well, would you like to come to my sister's home and celebrate Christmas with my family? And he was like, sure. And so I actually had him write a list of Santa Claus. And he wanted to know if he wrote everything down, would Santa Claus bring it? And I said, well, I said, he hopes to. He tries. And he said, well, how's he ever going to find me? I said, well, he's a pretty smart guy.
In that meeting in the book, there is, he said, when you were asking him about Christmas, he said, I know about it. I just had really never celebrated it. They never really had the money to celebrate it.
And what he also said, was, which was so incredible, is that kids like me, we see everything. He said, but we see it from the outside looking in because we know it's not possible.
Yeah.
And that's actually a chapter in my book, and I still get goosebumps every time I think of how he was able to articulate that at 11 years old.
What, in through the relationship, at what point did you understand that this was something...
Sorry about that. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, say that again.
At what point in the relationship did you think that this was something that you could write about and tell this story?
Well, you know, we met in 1986. People have been telling me for years and years and years that I should write a book, and I'm like, write a book. I said, it's just a really special friendship that we have between the two of us, and people kept telling me. And then in 2007, so it was many, many years later, I had a break with work, and I actually had moved to Florida for a very short period of time. And I had spare time, and I thought, you know what, let me really see if I can do this. And I started to write it. And before I knew it, I really kind of got into it. And then I moved back to New York. I continued to work in advertising. And then in 2009, there was a big change. And I was all of a sudden out of a job with 16 other people. And I thought, you know, I'm going to really try to make a go of my book. And I pulled it back out and I finished it. And then I realized that I really needed a co-author to help me take it to the next level. And I found Alex Trezanowski, who actually had worked at People Magazine when I was there. And so I got in touch with him and he agreed to work on it with me. So it was really, you know, I met him in 86 and I didn't start it until really... 2007.
How aware was Maurice that you were taking on this project?
Maurice was actually back. Maurice actually lives in New York City. He lives all the way downtown. So he was, you know, very much a part of the book. He's actually a partner in the book, the big book, and Invisible Thread, as well as the children's book. And there is talk of a movie, and I always say from my mouth to God's ears. So he's been involved from the very beginning, except that he never thought the book would get sold.
Why did he think that? Just that it was an uncommon story, or?
Well, you know, even my sister Annette thought it was great that I was doing this new project, but I think to actually imagine that the book would ultimately one day be in a bookstore was even hard for me to even begin to comprehend. And I look at the entire journey, and I'm still totally amazed, and all I know is that I believe that we're both enormously blessed.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible to me.
What do you think it is, having had some time to think about it, what do you think it is about the story that struck a chord with people?
Well, I think, you know, so many people are subjected to people who are underprivileged, and yet sometimes they do treat them as if they were invisible. And I think that what kind of strikes a chord is how, you know, one person can make a huge difference, and in some cases can even actually change a life. Now, you know, with Maurice, I never imagined that our friendship over the years would develop the way that it did and that it would have such repercussions. But the thing about Maurice that I'm most proud of is that he broke a cycle. You know, his children will never know from drugs and violence. And those cycles are really hard to break. And people who are living and they're homeless, they're not living homeless because they want to be homeless. Sometimes people are given these really unfortunate curveballs that put them in a situation where they have no choice.
Mm.
And it just kind of, I guess my hope continues to be that it does show how one small act of kindness can make an enormous difference. And sometimes when we open up our eyes and hearts to our surroundings, we never know the kinds of blessings that will come our way because of it.
You do have a note about kindness in the book. It's certainly a theme in the book. Today is Giving Tuesday.
Yes.
What is that? That message has come out. Was that very clear to you from the beginning, or has it really manifested itself over the course of the successful life of the book?
I have to say, it's probably been over the success of the book. I mean, people used to say to me all the time. That Maurice was so lucky to have met me, and I would always respond that I was so lucky to have met Maurice. But what I never imagined was how an invisible thread would be thought of as a book who really does, that is actually spreading kindness. And, you know, for an invisible thread Christmas story, I do believe that parents do want to teach their children to also be kind, and I do an incredible amount of speaking engagements all around the country, and I've been visiting with elementary schools. I was just yesterday at an elementary school, and to actually meet with children and talk to them about what they think are small acts of kindness is really just absolutely incredible to me. And just like we do teach math and English and social studies or history, we can teach children to be kind. We can bring kindness more to the forefront and let them all understand that sometimes, you know, the blessings that they have in their lives, other children do not have. I talked about yesterday how, you know, sometimes if you're on during recess and you see a child by themselves and you're playing with friends, go over to them and ask that child to join them, to join you. And this little boy raised his hand, and I asked him what his name was, and he said his name was Anthony. And I said, so what's your small act of kindness? He said, well, I like that you mentioned that. He said, because that happened to me. I said, what happened to you? He said, one day I was by myself and everybody was playing. I said, and did you feel bad? And he said, I felt terrible. I said, so everyone here today needs to understand that when you see a child by themselves, ask them to join you. One child said, open up a door for someone who's an older person. I said, that's such a sweet act of kindness. And to talk to children about kindness, they get it. They understand it. And it's incredible to me that I've been given this amazing opportunity to talk to children about how they too can be kinder in a world where sometimes we're not always kind.
The name of the new book is An Invisible Thread Christmas Story by Laura Schroff, and it's illustrated by Barry Root. It's absolutely gorgeous, a beautiful book from Little Simon.
Yeah.
And it's An Invisible Thread Christmas Story, a true story based on the number one New York Times bestseller. Laura Schroff, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Joe, thank you, and happy holidays to all of your listeners.
And
thank
to you.
So
thank
much.
You very much.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.